Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's Thursday, and thank you for joining us for our program today. Exciting things happening. Great teaching of the Word that we've been enjoying here in the last week and a half. Derek Prince has been teaching us about the new life. And boy, it's got so many facets, so many great things that he's been breaking out. Who Jesus is, what it means to know him, what it means to bear fruit in him, what it means to be pruned, what it means to be a sheep in a relationship with a shepherd. It's exciting stuff. And I hope you've been with us every moment. If you haven't and you've missed any of it, you can log on to the website at derekprince.org and pick this stuff up. Now listen, today Derek's going to be talking about the marks of a sheep, the enemy of our shepherd relationship with God, and what are the marks of a true disciple. He's really boring down into the truths of this shepherd-sheep relationship that is described in John chapter 10 and other places. Really urge you to listen today and have your Bible and let these truths soak into your soul. Listen, we've got something that we're giving away free. We want you to make sure to get it. We're offering it today and then again tomorrow. The last day we'll be offering it. It's Extravagant Love, a great booklet by Derek Prince, all about the love of God, how we enjoy it, how we walk in it, how we're changed about it by it, how boundless and vast it is. We want you to have this free resource to plant the Word of God in your life. Get that by logging on to the website at derekprince.org, or you can call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. We want you to have these resources to plant the Word in your life. Well, let's listen now as Derek teaches us about the marks of a sheep.
In my earlier talks, I've pointed out the apparent paradox that Jesus is both the door and the shepherd. And I also offer you my interpretation of that paradox, which I will briefly recapitulate. Crucified for our sins, Jesus is the door. Resurrected from the dead, he becomes the shepherd of those who have entered through the door. But he is a shepherd only to those who have first come through the door of his atoning death. There is no other way into the sheepfold. There is no other way that we can have Jesus as our shepherd. Yesterday I shared on the shepherd's provision as pictured in Psalm 23. And I summed it up in one tremendous phrase, total security. But remember that all provision is measured by our commitment. When our commitment is total, our security is total. But if there are limits to our commitment, then we don't enjoy that total security which Jesus offers us. Now that picture was taken from the Old Testament, from Psalm 23. Today I want to begin by reinforcing this Old Testament picture by the actual words of Jesus himself in this parable in the New Testament. First, we look at John 10, verse 10, one of my favorite verses. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. So Jesus tells us there the reason why he came. Why did he come to earth? What was it for? Summed up in that very simple phrase that his sheep might have life, and not just a little life or a limited life, but life abundantly, life overflowing, life for every area of their being, life more than sufficient for every challenge and every pressure that comes against us. Abundant life. And then in John 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus speaks about this life and uses another phrase. He uses the phrase eternal life. This is what he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." Notice that central phrase there, "I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish." So if we combine those two statements in John chapter 10, Jesus came that we might have abundant life, and that we might have eternal life, life that stretches beyond this world, life that goes beyond the grave, life that lasts for eternity. I once heard somebody say, and it was such a good phrase, I believe that I shall live as long as God lives, because God has become my life. That's the kind of life that Jesus came to offer us. Now we need to look for a moment at this contrast, the two persons pictured in the words that I've read to you. There's the life giver, Jesus, and there's the life taker, who's not named, but his name, of course, is Satan. If anybody ever told us the truth about Satan, it was Jesus. And he said some very unpleasant things. He said that he was a liar, that he was a murderer, and that he was a thief, and that he never comes into our life to do us any good. We surely do need to give heed to that warning. Now, a liar doesn't tell the truth, and a thief doesn't announce that he's coming, or if he comes, he doesn't attract your attention to his presence. He doesn't tell you why he's come. One of the main ways in which Satan has power over humanity is by deception. He doesn't tell us the truth. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it says he's the great serpent, the ancient serpent that deceives the whole world. So be on your guard against deception. Satan has some very nice titles that he gives himself. He portrays himself in a very false way. He wants you to think that he's come that you may have a wonderful time, that you may really see life to the full. You don't need all these old-fashioned restrictions of religious people. You just need to live it up. You need to indulge yourself. One of the sayings we hear this day is, if it feels good, do it. I want to tell you the voice behind that has got the serpent's hiss, because he knows that if you do that, sooner or later it'll stop feeling good, and you'll begin to realize that you're a captive, that you're a prisoner, that he didn't come to do you good. He didn't come to give you life. He came to take your life physically, your life morally, your life spiritually. He's your enemy. He's not your friend. He's a deceiver. Don't believe him. Believe Jesus. Jesus always told us the truth. If you want life, eternal life, abundant life, that is in Jesus. It's not in the enemy. It's not in the thief. And if you want life, you can have it. You can have Jesus as your life-giving shepherd. But remember, you have to come through the door.
You know, Derek has used a name for Satan here that really helps us understand who he is and what his fruit is in our life. He said Jesus is the life giver, but Satan is the life taker. Now, that's not a phrase we would normally use in English, but I'll tell you, that really helps me understand who Satan is. Everything he is about, everything he moves us and tempts us to do, takes life, drains life, perverts life. He's the life taker. He's trying to take away the good and the beautiful and the energetic and the powerful and the holy that God has planted in our lives. He's the false shepherd. He's the one that moves us in false ways and gets us committed to false truths, false ideas. What a powerful revelation that is. Listen, so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
How would you define extravagant? The absolute best? Over-the-top luxury? The ultimate in comfort and security? Then what would extravagant love be like? And what would extravagant love mean to you? The dictionary defines extravagant as going beyond reasonable limits, excessive, or unrestrained. And although you may not realize it, the truth is, you are loved in that way right now. God Himself loves you extravagantly. In his book, Extravagant Love, Derek Prince searched out key parables and scriptures from the Bible that define and explain God's love. He compiled these verses along with his insights into a comprehensive, easy-to-read book. God's love is not only unconditional, it is excessive and unrestrained. That is why we want you to have a free copy of Extravagant Love, absolutely free and postage paid. To get your copy, give us a call right now. 800-448-3261. The book and the call are both free. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the extravagant inheritance that waits you. Grasp the scope of God's extravagant love for you. Call now and request your free copy. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. or request your free copy of Extravagant Love when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Wonderful to have you with us. We're listening to Derek Prince teach us about the marks of a sheep. We're also listening to Derek teach us about the false nature of Satan, how he's the life taker. But we're just about to learn about the distinctive marks of a sheep. You know, if you've read the Bible, you know that followers of Jesus are called sheep, and it's obviously connected to the idea that he's the good shepherd. But what does it mean to be a sheep? Does it just mean to be passive and kind of stupid, like sheep tend to be? Or is it a matter of something more? Are there some certain distinctives, some marks that we're supposed to exhibit as we are the sheep of Jesus? Well, let's listen as Derek breaks this out for us.
Now we're going to look for a little while at the other side of the coin. We've looked at the shepherd. Now let's look at the sheep as portrayed in this parable of the sheepfold. What are their distinguishing marks? In other words, what marks out real Christians in this world? How may we recognize them? More important still, how may we know that we belong to them ourselves? The answer is really not complicated. In terms of that parable, it's very simple. I want to give you three distinctive marks of the sheep, that is, the true Christians, the true believers, the real disciples of Jesus. First of all, they enter the sheepfold by the door. They don't try to climb up some other way. They acknowledge that they are sinners. They believe that Jesus, by his death on the cross, paid the penalty for their sins, that he shed his blood that they might be redeemed, forgiven, and become his sheep and receive eternal life. They are not proud. They're not self-righteous. They're not all bound up with their own religious concepts and ideas. They're humble. They just have come to the end of themselves. They've seen that all that they can do is not sufficient. The Bible says in the Old Covenant, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Not all our good deeds, not all our bad deeds, but our good deeds are as filthy rags. A person has to come to that place. I can't handle this thing myself. I don't have the answer. I'm not good enough. I am a captive of sin. I need a liberator. I need a deliverer. I need a savior. And when a person comes to that place, then that person can truly enter by the gate, by the death of Jesus Christ on his behalf. Remember, Christ crucified is the gate. Christ resurrected is the shepherd. But in order to have the resurrected Christ as your shepherd, you first have to enter through the gate of his atoning death. So that's the first mark of the true sheep. They've entered by the door, Jesus crucified. The second mark is very, very simple, but very profound. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. They follow me." What is that? It's a direct, personal, intimate relationship. It's not church membership. It's not a doctrinal statement. It's not the repetition of a creed or some sacrament. All those things may be good in their place, but none of them is a substitute for that personal relationship. My sheep hear my voice. They know me. And furthermore, they also reject the voice of a stranger. They are not deceived by religious substitutes. They do not follow into cults and false teachings because they hear the voice of Jesus. That's the mark of sheep in the biblical culture. They did not, they were not driven by the shepherd, but they followed him, and they followed him because they heard his voice. And it's still the same today in the land of the Bible, in Israel. Still today you'll see shepherds leading their sheep by their voice. So remember, Jesus does not drive. He does not compel. He leads. But he leads only those who can hear his voice. If we cannot hear his voice, then we cannot follow him. And then the third mark is again very simple. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. That's what? That's obedience. In one simple word, it's doing what Jesus says we are to do. It's being able to hear his voice and then obey it. So, what are those two last marks? What do they speak to us of? A direct personal relationship and obedience to the Lord. That's what marks out the sheep of Jesus, the true Christians. You see, it's not a denominational label. It's not a doctrinal statement. It's not a form of religion. The true sheep of Jesus can be dressed in many different ways. They can be dressed in very modern dress, or they can wear some kind of garb that marks out a special order of the church. It isn't the outward marks, it's the inward attitude and relationship. Don't just look for the sheep of Jesus in one particular section of the church, but look for those people that have that relationship with him, that they can hear his voice and follow him. And above all, make sure that you are one of those people.
You know, Derek has just taught us something powerful as he teaches us that sheep are defined by the fact that they enter through the sheepfold by the door, that they hear the shepherd's voice, and that they follow the shepherd. There's one of these I really want to emphasize. You know, my experience indicates that most Christians are insecure about their ability to hear the voice of God. Most Christians speak as though really hearing God or knowing God's voice is something foreign, something strange, maybe something exceptional that only pastors and super anointed ones experience. But you know what? It's one of the common, normal definitions of what it means to be a sheep. To be a sheep of Jesus, for Jesus to be our shepherd, it means we hear and recognize his voice. Now, that's a powerful truth, and I hope that bolsters your confidence that you can hear the Lord, that you can know his voice, that this is normal Christianity. It's not just something Derek Prince is teaching or something that Derek Prince Ministries is pushing on you. It's what the Bible says is the normal experience of a sheep following the good shepherd. May the Lord dig our ear, as it says in the Old Testament, so that we can hear the voice of our shepherd. More to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
When life seems lifeless and hope far away, it's time for change, a complete transformation. In his encouraging book, Transformed for Life, Derek Prince reveals how Jesus' death on the cross began a marvelous transformation that can reach into your life right now. Through its pages, you'll discover how God's sacrificial gift forever changed the lives of those who know him, and why his sacrifice will take care of you completely. God's love for you is far from ordinary. Isn't it time for you to see how you can become transformed for life? To order your copy or to get one for someone you love, call us toll free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95, and if you order now, we will make sure you receive it in time for the holidays. God has a transformed life waiting for you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thankful that you're with us today, and hope that you've been listening all day as we've been listening to this powerful, powerful teaching by Derek Prince on being a sheep and what it means to be shepherded by Jesus, and what a powerful truth this has been. I want to massage this into our lives just a little bit and maybe help us digest it. Let me tell you a story that occurred in my life when I was in college. It's a silly little thing, but it'll maybe help some of us really begin to walk in a relationship with Jesus as the Good Shepherd. I was on staff at the university that I attended, and I got a page one day that I needed to rush down to a building. When I got down to the building, there was a family, a man, a wife, and a little boy. The woman was crying. The father was angry and stomping around, and the little boy had his hand way up inside of a candy machine, and his little arm was bleeding, and he was screaming as though the machine was eating his arm. There was a security guy there who wasn't allowed to get involved in this. It was for people like me, not for the security guys to actually deal with the situation, deal with the public. And so I looked at the situation of absolute chaos, the angry father, the tearful mother, the screaming child, went over to the candy machine, looked at the boy's arm, little trickle of blood. It looked desperate. I kind of felt up his arm into the machine and realized what was going on. And finally I said, "Son, let go of the candy bar." And out came his arm. Well, it's a silly illustration, but it's exactly what many of us do. We are trapped by the very things that we grasp. This little boy was screaming as though that machine had reached out, grabbed his arm, and begun to munch on it, when in fact he had a death grip on a Baby Ruth. And this is exactly the way it is for many of us. We want to be responsible. We want to take control of providing for our own souls, our own lives, our own bodies. We want to be our own shepherds, so to speak. And as a result, we don't let go, as it were. We don't allow Jesus to be the good shepherd. Well, I want to say to you that a man who is his own pastor, a man who is his own shepherd, has a fool for a shepherd. None of us can be framed, can be defined by ourselves. And I'll tell you, the body of Christ is full of people who are self-defined, self-led, so to speak, self-pastored, if you understand what I'm saying. I want to suggest to you that we need a boost of confidence in Jesus as the good shepherd who really cares for us. You know what? He knows where the nourishment is. He knows what our souls need. He knows how we're made, what we need for inspiration. And if we cannot begin to follow him, and I don't just mean follow him in a general kind of lifetime direction sense, but follow him in the daily things. Follow him as he shepherds us. You know, when a shepherd leads a flock of sheep, he guards them, he takes them to water, he makes sure they don't eat too much. Sometimes he even breaks the leg of a sheep that continues to wander off so the wolf doesn't get it. He's tough with them, but the sheep really follow because they know after some experience that shepherd means them good. David Holland and I were discussing earlier this week that many Christians have a hard time believing that God intends them good. Somehow we've taken the experiences we have with human beings, and we tend to see God as the tightwad banker in the sky kind of thing, a guy who won't be generous with us, a guy who won't do what's best for us. And so we hold on to our own little baby Ruths in fear, and we don't really let him shepherd us. I want to suggest to you that the Word of God not only tells us that we can have confidence in Jesus as the shepherd of our souls, as the author and finisher of our faith, as the bishop of our souls, but the Bible also wants us to understand that we will accomplish the great things to which we are called if we will allow him to frame us, to shape us, to pastor us. It's time for us to stop trying to do it on our own. We really are it's as though I'm trying to lead my dog to a great pond of fresh water and great things, and instead he insists on staying at a mud puddle thinking it's the best he can have. But if he'll let me lead him, I can take him to something wonderful. That, my friends, is where many of us are in our relationship with Jesus. Listen, there's something we absolutely want you to have that will build up your confidence in the love of God and help you to trust Jesus to be your shepherd. It's a booklet by Derek Prince called Extravagant Love. It's absolutely available to you free and postage paid. You can get it by logging onto the website and giving us your information there, derekprince.org, or you can call us and let us know that you'd like to have this at 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Friday as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's book, Transformed for Life, give us a call toll-free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is just $12.95. And when you call, be sure to request your free copy of Derek's powerful booklet, Extravagant Love. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order both resources securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.